And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
There is a secret that all of us share. It is the secret of life. You embrace it, it fills you. The bird calling sings with life. The song of whales proclaim, I am alive. The voices, if we could hear them all sounding together, what would that be? The searing whisper of spirit, the spirit of nature. Today, here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
We're about to launch into August. Summer is in full swing, and this week, the Democrats are in Boston, and tonight they will propel John Kerry on his trek to the White House. It's a great time to be involved with nature and the environment, because people do care about the Earth. And as we make choices about our future and this nation, life is an issue. Life, it's such a mystery. At every level. Today, we will be examining life and our connection with it. There are many visions of life. Some fully believe it is the work of God. Others would claim life to be a consequence of random change through time, and many just don't care, and many just don't know. But most would agree that life, particularly its expression in the wild places, the forests and the wilderness, is a place where humans confront the truth of natural existence. And in that experience, we learn. What is it about the wild that affects us? What in reality are we perceiving? Is there something more to this experience? Is there a spiritual connection between us and nature? Today, we venture into the spiritual connections with people who are discovering the ancient spiritual writings from the Judeo-Christian traditions and the legacy of the saints and sages who share a common sense of the divine. Opening the book of nature will be our quest, and it is one we will all find value in traveling. So after we look at the news, we will open the book of nature. And now, the news. As our wild animal neighbors feel the effects of humanization in their fields, forests, and homes, coupled with an emerging drought that diminishes all living systems, we hear increasing tension between them and us. It's a classic war between the haves and the have-nots. Coyotes here in San Diego have been pressured into seeking sustenance among the human populations, as their normal homelands, the open spaces, are suffering from an extended drying trend and urbanization. Residents in edge communities are reporting that coyotes are heading into homes through doggy doors and, well, taking small dogs. The increasing encroachment into human zones is indicative of a dangerous change in their capacity to survive in the remaining wild lands. It is another warning. Listen, pay attention, work to change the life-supporting systems. Tropical forests in Argentina continue to make the news. Jaguars are acting strangely as well in the great Chaco and Yungas forests of northwest Argentina. They have been seen riding around on motorbikes and disabling bulldozers that are clearing forests to make way for plantations of genetically engineered soybeans to be sold as cattle feed in Europe and China. The bizarre jaguar behavior is easily explained as members of Greenpeace admit that they are actually responsible. Activists are suiting up in jaguar suits and manifesting the protests. The Argentinian forests are one of the two largest intact forest systems in the Americas, rich in natural diversity and home to millions of people. The unique dynamics of the global economy are engendering dramatic changes in species behaviors worldwide. On a lighter note, the balloons used at the Democratic Convention are made from biodegradable materials, and the confetti is recycled, indicative of the battles being waged to prove which party is more environmentally responsible as the election year progresses. Scientists in England have announced the creation of an endangered species DNA bank of frozen specimens in the hope that such preservation will assure the possible reintroduction of the species as cloning research progresses. Known as the Frozen Ark Project, environmentalist and former diplomat Sir Crispin Tickle said, "Nobody is doing anything quite like this. This is the first of its kind. The project is not a substitute for conservation. It is part of the process of conservation. NOAA would be rather proud of this project." More on NOAA later. And on a final note, the list of Americans happy to show their support for wilderness during this 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act is growing each day. If you too share the dream of preserving wilderness, you can claim allegiance with the following very cool people: Mose Allison, photographer Savankar Banerjee, Ted Danson, Terry Garr, blues legend John Hammond, Emmylou Harris, not to overlook Robert Redford, Christopher Reeve, Jimmy Carter, and Barbara Kingsolver, all of you listening, and millions of more caring human beings. To find out more about this celebration of Wilderness 2004, go to www.leaveitwild.org, and of course, tune in regularly here on the Wild Side News. And that is the news. And just a few announcements. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. The Wild Side News listenership hit a new record this week. It just keeps growing, and that's exactly what we want. And I also want to welcome lots of new listeners, particularly my new friends from the International Children's Conference on the Environment, their friends and families. By the way, I'll be happy to add you to the Wild Side News mailing list if you send an email to me at wildsidenews@cox.net. That's wildsidenews@cox.net. Next week, we visit with photographer Scott Miller, who will be talking about his 150th anniversary edition of Walden. And we'll learn about the wondrous world of the yurts and more. Then, we're off to Salt Lake for a live broadcast from the Outdoor Retailers Show. Lots of new outdoor gear to talk about there. And the Wildside News Nature Store is in construction. It will be the place to find great deals on great gear. So listen live, or listen whenever you want on the archives here on the Wildside News. Have you ever just decided you needed to get away, to head out into the country, maybe even just head up into the hills for a day? Sure, we all have. And we all come back feeling better. But why? What is it about nature that has this restorative effect on each of us? Many people feel that nature has a spiritual content and look for ways to deepen their spiritual communion. And certainly, such beliefs are common. Yet it seems that modern churches today shy away from teaching and proclaiming the spiritual nature of nature. Many within the environmental movement sense that somehow the churches seem to have abandoned those who work to honor and preserve what the faith-based community would call the creation. The issues surrounding ecology, sustainability, endangered species, which many in the environmental community feel would naturally grow from a love of God's creation, are somehow politicized into alliances with politics which seem antithetical to honoring and preserving God's creation. However, some within the faith-based communities are working from within to reconnect their members and churches with what they feel to be the historic teachings of Christian and Jewish traditions, which dramatically speak to the divine relationship between humans and the paradise provided. Fred Krueger is director of Opening the Book of Nature, which is getting people literally in touch with the wilderness and nature to open or reopen the natural flows of spiritual communion that the early churches, sages, and saints accepted as an important dynamic of the spiritual life. He is here to talk about his work along with two people who have accompanied him on this exploration of the spiritual nature of nature. Fred is joined by Alan Johnson and Jim Davidson. I want to welcome all of you here to the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Sydney.
There we got three. That's what I'm looking for. Fred, let's start out with you. You actually are probably you don't like to be referred to as the founder for reasons that are personal to you, but in reality, you've been the Pied Piper in creating this practice, opening the Book of Nature. Where did this come from? And then also, let's get a sense of the mission of opening the Book of Nature.
Yeah. The idea of opening the Book of Nature, in my experience, began in the writings of George Washington Carver. He had a book, the only book written while he was alive, which was called The Man Who Talks with the Flowers from 1938. And in it, he began to reveal how he had a method in his discoveries about the peanut. And he began to give keys to opening nature. And from that, there was the sense that we ought to be able to learn spiritual lessons from the land. And so 25 years ago, began an organization called the 11th Commandment Fellowship. It was the first organization dealing with ethics and the environment. And it tapped religious groups, and so we felt, well, what should we do to start? And we didn't want to get involved with politics so much as something that had a genuine religious flavor. And so leaning on Carver, we decided, let's take a group, about 20 people, and go off into the wilderness of Yosemite and explore. How do you do this? And Carver gave us a few of the first keys. He said you had to love it, you had to see an infinite depth to it, you had to draw that out with an expectancy that it would happen. And by golly, it all worked. And yet, what was difficult was to convince people in the churches that they could also do this. And so gradually we recovered a rather lengthy list of historical voices that affirmed, especially from the early church, who said, yes, we can do this. One of them, Irenaeus of Lyon, way back in the second century, said not only that creation reveals him who formed it, but the church had received this tradition from the apostles themselves. And we began to find dozens and finally hundreds of citations that emphasize, of course, this is part of our religious heritage. And so a program was born probably in the mid-90s. It took quite a while going through different names and trying to refine our technique before we had a system that would allow for a deepening appreciation and even a learning from the land. And that's where we're continuing to develop that.
Well, in reality, it's sort of spiritual field work, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you've been accompanied by lots of people. As a matter of fact, you've been offering events around the country. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, how your work is manifest these days?
Well, we have a number of different programs. We have a one-day taste of opening the Book of Nature. We have an introductory program, which is a whole weekend. We have facilitators skipped around the country where we'll have events, and people have rather remarkable experiences as they do this. We have a 10-day-long wilderness trip program. We've been able to take intercivity juvenile delinquents out into the wilderness and show remarkable changes in their attitudes. And on the horizon, we see chapters, senior citizen groups that will go out. The list of applications is actually endless.
And I encourage people to visit the website. You can easily get to the links that lead to Fred's work, opening the Book of Nature. And actually, the overseeing organization is?
Well, it's the Religious Campaign for Forest Conservation.
That's a rather interesting moniker, actually. Now, through time here, you have had people who come through your program, and consistently, as I've met and talked to these people, they say, you know, this really has made a difference in my life. One of those people is Jim Davidson. Jim, you're from Minnesota. How is it you came to this particular project, and what has it provided for you?
I came to it through an ad that Fred in an organization on the East Coast about 6-7 years ago had, I think, in the Udney Reader, and it was OBN. I called him, got Fred on the phone, asked him what it was, and he asked me a few questions about why I'd be interested, and I just said the whole concept of trying to weave my environmental activities and my Christian life together in one path struck me as impossible before. So he invited me to an OBN in Michigan. I flew to Chicago, drove up there. It was about in September, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, and it did, in fact, make a big difference in my life. It did the weaving I didn't think was possible. two separate ways of living kind of fused into one. And I've been active with Fred and hundreds of other people in the country on this issue ever since.
Also, we have Ellen Johnson, who is a legendary librarian. And we at some other time we'll talk about that. Unfortunately, the time goes so quickly. We have about a minute and a half left. But, Ellen, why don't you share as well your experience and how this manifests for you in your faith?
Similar to the Jim's, I was seeking how to tie in my love for God and my Christian faith with my heart for nature and my desire to my concern about its the threats upon it. And I met Fred when I was in Philadelphia working for the Evangelical Environmental Network. We connected well, and we went out trying to do the field work to get this project started. It has been amazing. The number of events I have been on has really influenced people, really impacted them, and I do believe as we get back into nature and prayerfully attune ourselves to God, we will learn lessons, we will experience an awakening in our spirits and in our that will also manifest in action.
You know, we have 30 seconds left. Fred, also, this is not about any particular dogma or doctrine or church. It really is about spirituality. We're going to explore that as we go into our second segment, gentlemen. Thanks for being here. I appreciate all of your work in helping me prepare for this. Fred, hang on the line here, and we're going to continue when we come back in exploring the nature and spirituality of our planet. Thank you.
Thank you.